Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus is the name of someone in the Bible, Old or New Testament? New Testament. Probably somebody, if I were to ask you to describe him, in fact, before I studied this message, if you would ask me who Epaphroditus was, I probably wouldn't have been able to really explain in detail who he is. So I want to say a few things about this man. I've got a book in my bookshelf called In Paul's Shadow. It's by Edmund Hebert. And in that book, he lists all the people Paul would have known. And if they're named by name in the Bible, he would give the name, and he would give a pretty lengthy explanation about how Paul knew them, what they meant to him, and so forth. Some unnamed, so he's got both named and unnamed. Well, Epaphroditus is one of those whose name is mentioned, and although he's mentioned just in a few places in Scripture, mainly in the book of Philippians, where I'd like you to turn, Philippians chapter 2, although he's mentioned mainly in Philippians, Edmund Hebert is able to say a lot of things about him from where he sees him in Scripture. So I want you to get to know this man, and I want you to get to know him in this sense. He would be somebody who, if he lived today, would be somebody you would gladly pray for. Somebody you would thank God for. Because the Apostle Paul did. And that challenged me as I was looking at this week. Am I someone that if I needed prayer, whether it was health-wise or for whatever, for whom people would gladly pray? If would people gladly pray for you because you're a blessing and because of what you mean to them? What a man Epaphroditus was. He was truly a man of character. And he meant much to much people. And he provides an example of Christian character, of one for whom I think you would agree with me, you would pray for as well as I would. Philippians chapter 2, in verse 25, here's what the Apostle Paul says. After he's talked about his son in the faith, Timothy, in the previous verses, now he talks about Epaphroditus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed, he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. You'll see in verse 27, he was sick nigh unto death. And again, Paul mentions it in verse 30. And why he was sick nigh unto death. I want to look at three things. First of all, what did Epaphroditus mean to the Philippians? In verse 25, he calls him your messenger. Epaphroditus was a member of the church at Philippi. And Paul is sending him back after the church at Philippi had sent Epaphroditus to him and to minister to him. In fact, it was Epaphroditus, look at chapter 4 and verse 18, who delivered the Philippian church's gift to the Apostle Paul. There in chapter 2 and verse 26, we note something. Epaphroditus longed after the Philippians. He longed after them, but it says he was full of heaviness. Why? Not due to the fact that he was sick, get this, but because his Christian brethren and brothers and sisters heard that he was sick, and that filled him with heaviness. In other words, he would rather that they hadn't even known that he was sick. That hit me in between the eyes this week. Because how unlike us, sometimes who like to wear our sicknesses or our weaknesses on our sleeve, whose heaviness is for ourselves, not for others who hear about our condition. He wasn't craving sympathy. He wasn't hoping everybody heard about his sickness. In fact, he didn't want them to know. It's almost like a child that gets hurt. You've seen this happen because most little kids do it. They fall down. They're not hurt, but they have an audience. And they lie down and they cry and they scream, not because they're hurt, but because they're milking for sympathy. Oh, he fell down, you know, and then you want to try to help the little child. And he plays it up, and man, you know, then it's, he blubbers and everything else. While onlookers are giving the sympathy to him that he so desires, the good parents, no, get up. Get up. You fell down. You did that, you know, and so forth and so on. Mature children don't do that. They fall down, and they don't want to be known for somebody who's clumsy and falls down on his own. They get right back up and they get going. That was Epaphroditus, not milking for sympathy. So that's what he meant to the Philippians. He did not even want them to know that he was sick. And how sick was he? Out loud, please. Nigh unto death. He didn't even want them to know about it. Look at what he meant to Paul. In verse 25, he says, he is my brother. He is my fellow laborer. He is my fellow soldier. He ministered to my wants, he says in verse 25. The wants, when you read the word wants, she used to confuse me as a kid. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I used to say, there's all kinds of things I want. Why is it the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? I want things. Until you learn that that's the King James word for I shall not lack. I shall not lack anything. And Paul is saying here that he ministered not to my wants, the things that I really wish I could have. He's saying he ministered to what I needed. In verse 30, we learn the cause of his sickness like we did in verse 27. But I want you to note that he was nigh unto death in verse 30 because of what? Look at it. Why was he nigh unto death according to verse 30? For the work of the Lord. For the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. And some have speculated that this man risked his life to go from Philippi to Rome, where Paul is in prison. He did many things. He overexerted himself. He wanted to be a blessing to the Apostle Paul. Why? Because that church in Philippi had sent him on a commission to be a blessing to the Apostle Paul. And he didn't want to disappoint his church in Philippi, and he didn't want to disappoint the Apostle Paul. He didn't want to disappoint the Lord. And so he gave his full self for the cause or for the work of Christ, for which he was nigh unto death. Not regarding his life, it says in verse 30. His life was not what he was so interested in. He risked his life. That work of Christ was to supply for Paul what the Philippians were not able to do because they lacked opportunity, according to chapter 4 and verse 10. It's like somebody said, in fact, it was Hebert who said this, he was commissioned not only to bring a gift to the Apostle Paul, but to be a gift to the Apostle Paul. That's somebody I can pray for. That's somebody who, if he gets sick, you know, I would pray for him. Would your being sent to someone be a gift to them or a grief to them? And I want you to notice something else. God's mercy on Epaphroditus, notice this in verse 27, God had mercy on him. The reason Epaphroditus was healed of his sickness is because God had mercy on him. Paul recognized Epaphroditus' recovery as God's mercy on him. interesting. Had Paul ever healed someone of sickness? He had. He could have just done it here. And yet the point that somebody made was this, quote, even in that charismatic era, when they say talk about charismatic, when the gifts were given to apostles for healing and tongue speaking and so forth, even in that charismatic era, the apostles could not perform miracles whenever they felt so inclined. Their will was subject to God's will. And they didn't just go around healing people at will. They did it because it was God's will. Paul did nothing by laying his hands on Epaphroditus to see him healed. Furthermore, Paul was never found in healing a Christian. He used that power always for the Gentiles, barbarians, and the unsaved. Now, somebody made that statement, but I thought about, I'm not sure. There was a guy who fell asleep while he was preaching once. And he had mercy on him. Probably understood his preaching like I do. My own. Putting people to sleep. I don't feel so bad when Paul puts people to sleep when I do. Hebert is quoting a Greek scholar here. He says, the theories that God wills that believers should have strong, healthy bodies and that failure to obtain healing is necessarily a sign of lack of faith or of yielding to evil spirits or that sickness is always caused by sin are all refuted by the case of Epaphroditus. If Paul could have healed anybody for what he was, it would have been Epaphroditus. But he chose not to heal him because that wasn't what God wanted. God had mercy on him. But interestingly enough, in that verse 27, Paul viewed God's mercy on Epaphroditus as mercy upon himself. Did you catch that? God had mercy on Epaphroditus and on Paul in healing Epaphroditus. And that got me to thinking, you know, when somebody gets healed, we go, oh, praise the Lord, you know, you're better. That's all right, I'm glad you got better. Or would it be like, you got better, oh, praise the Lord, you've been such a blessing. Now, yes, you can continue doing what you've been doing, you've been ministering, you've been a blessing to people. Praise the Lord for your healing. Most often, God's mercy is experienced by the one who is sick and him alone. How great when God's mercy on the sick can honestly be viewed as God's mercy on me as well. Because the character of a man like Epaphroditus, of somebody like that, he will get right back to doing what he did before without complaint. He was one for whom you could gladly pray. So what he meant to the Philippians, what he meant to Paul, and what he meant to all of them, he says in verse 29, Paul does, he says, receive him therefore in the Lord. Eagerly welcome him therefore in the Lord. And that with all gladness and hold such in reputation. In other words, he deserves your high esteem for who he is. A character like this, a person with the character like Epaphroditus, is one for whom Christians will gladly pray. Look forward to welcoming him with all gladness. And I close with this. His name means charming, and he well deserves that name. That's Epaphroditus. Lord, may we be a blessing to others, like Epaphroditus was to Paul and like he was to the church at Philippi. Oh, how we need Epaphroditus's today. May each of us be challenged to be like him, not to put others out, but Lord, to minister to others, a true servant of God. May we truly serve in the way that he did and was such a blessing, not only to the church who sent him, but also to the one to whom they sent him, to the Apostle Paul, languishing there in that prison in Rome. Lord, may we be a blessing to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.